Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first trading day of the month of September 2014. It's the second. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'll tell you about upcoming meetings we have in the evenings this week. We'll be in Watsika on Wednesday night, Mahomet on Thursday night, and I'll host Agronomy Day at Purdue on Friday. That all up in this half hour. We'll hear from Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist at the U of I, about the corn crop in the state of Illinois. And we'll check out the weather forecast today with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. September corn futures today, 355 and three quarters, were down 3.25 cents. The December at 363 and three quarters, down a penny. March futures at 376 and a half, 1.25 lower. The May at 384 and three quarters, down 1.25. July 391 and a half, a penny and a quarter lower. And December contracted next year at 405 and three quarters. That finished down 0.25 cents. Soy complex, nearby bean futures, September contract, a gain today, up 7.75 at $10.97.25. November, or the new crop soybeans, at 1032, up 7.75 for the day. January futures, 1039.75, up 7.25. The March at 1047, 6.5 cents higher. In the May at 1052.75, up 6.5 cents. July up 7.25 at 1057.5. And next year's November at 1041.75, a nickel higher on the day. Bean meal futures finished the nearby contract at $450.10, up $10.60. And the bean oil on the afternoon at 32.01, 3 cents lower. Livestock futures, live cattle, nearby October at 152.67.5, up $1.25 for the afternoon. Feeder cattle for the day are trading at 220.50 as they finished out the afternoon, $1.85 higher in the September. October at 219.10, up $2.37.5. Lean hogs at $99.72.5 in the lead option October, up $1.60 for the day. And December futures there at 93.27.5. $1.27.5 higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online where? At WILLAG.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Checking the outside markets now. Crude oil futures for the day. October contract at $93 and a penny. That's down $2.95 per barrel. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.79.09, 6 cents lower on the day. Gasoline and the RBOB or wholesale price at $2.54.6, 7.6 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.89.8. That's 16.7 cents lower on the afternoon. And the ethanol futures at $2.17.4, down 2.6 cents. Checking the financials and the outside markets at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,044, down 41 points. The gold futures at about $1,265 or $21 lower on the day. And the dollar at 83.01 is up 0.22 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Isolated showers. Those will come before 3 o'clock this afternoon. Not too far away. About 50 minutes now. Mostly sunny otherwise, and a high of 82 degrees on a west wind at about 5 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall just 20% for the afternoon. Tonight, areas of fog after 1 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear and a low of 62. Winds light and variable this evening. A 20% chance of rainfall. A few thunderstorms after 1 o'clock tomorrow on Wednesday, mostly sunny and 86 degrees on a calm wind. That'll turn to the south at 5 to 9 miles an hour during the morning hours. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It is the second day of September. This is the closing market report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the marketplace was an interesting chart today with futures in the bean pit moving higher. Why did that happen?
Well, you know, we were a little bit surprised, just as a lot of people were. We opened a little lower last night and then sort of built some little steam over the evening. The talk out there was that rumors regarding white mold and sudden death syndrome in parts of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Michigan had some folks starting to panic a little bit. That little bit of interest or stronger market in the Chinese market overnight that way, and just a little rain that fell across the Delta and like that sort of delayed harvest. And they're wanting some beans, and they're wanting them now as we look at the basis levels for quick shipment beans. So when they're out of the field for a day or two, why, a few people got nervous.
And some of those basis levels are pretty amazing. Tell me about them.
Well, you know, I mean, we're seeing some $2.50, $3 over for the quick shipment here. And, of course, everybody's wanting to take advantage of that if they can. And if it's raining, it's awful hard to combine beans. So that's one of the things that delayed and put things off a little bit. You know, the Chinese are in there seeming to have some interest in some beans and whatever, but you know, they've got an awful lot of reserve beans. They're wanting to sell back into their own people, and they're wanting to hold that price up while they get that done.
As you consider what this means to the marketplace longer term and maybe the carryout for the 2014-15 soy complex, USDA currently at 430 million. Will they swap some bushels out, and might that number drop, do you suppose, when we come out in September?
Well, you know, I don't think we probably had quite as many bushels left here is what the government was forecasting, the tightness of the bean crop right now and the basis we're paying that they didn't come out. So we might take and lower that carry in a little bit, or they could do a little bit of that. But, you know, you look at the rains that we've got over the last couple weeks here, and they might not have to. They can raise the production a little bit for that carry out to stay up where it's at.
What you see in the corn pit for the day?
The corn pit, you know, we were pulled up and off the lows by the beans. We went down. We didn't make a new low last night after we reopened, and that took a little bit of the oomph out of the downward motion of things. And with the beans, they were pulled up a little bit. But all in all, it looks like a steady grind lower with the corn crop we're looking at. We thought there might be a little activity over in the wheat pit with the Ukraine-Russian situation continuing to escalate, being their mainly wheat exporters. And here we are, lower on the day and substantially lower, 7 to 9 cents lower, just, you know, when still with all the panic and warmongering going on over there.
Yeah, it's a bit surprising. What do you look for the rest of the week? Anything exciting?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to watch and see if this story on the SDS and white mold that continues to grow, or if it sort of backs off a little bit. And I think, you know, we are going to keep an eye and see what does happen in Russia. I think that's a powder keg waiting to blow up.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. You can always hear him again at our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Emerson Nafsicker, agronomist from the U of I, is with us to talk about the corn crop in the state of Illinois. Emerson, lots of chatter about the size of the crop. USDA in its August 12 crop production report pegged the Illinois crop at 188 bushels to the acre. Many are wondering if that's high enough or not. Your opinion on the crop, where we stand at this point?
Well, Todd, they sample those, you know, in a scientific manner and have fields across the state where they do the kernel counts. This should have been a good year to do kernel counts because pollination was very timely and we could count full kernels or kernels that were going to turn into full kernels on these, in most of these fields by the end of July, certainly. And I usually don't try to outguess what they've come up with. It's just clear that kernel counts are pretty extraordinary this year. 20 million per acre is not at all unusual. And that's, people don't think in millions necessarily, but if you think in the thousandth of an acre that we usually test, that would be 20,000 kernels, and that's, say, 35 ears in that space by 600 kernels per ear, and that's 21,000 kernels in that thousandth of an acre. So those are some pretty large numbers. Pollination was just excellent. There's no other term to use for it. People in some fields, in fact, that I've seen, there was no nosing back at all, and so the kernels actually covered the end of the ear. In fact, in cases like that, there might not have been quite enough ears. We'd actually like to see those last couple of kernels at least not develop. That means that everything that plant could do and could fill is actually getting filled. I think as a result of that, all of this with these high kernel counts per acre, we're probably going to end up with a little smaller kernels than we might have, say, in a 2009, another season with a very extended filling period and good kernel numbers. But this isn't a big problem. You know, 20 million kernels per acre divided by, say, 80,000 kernels per bushel, that's 250 bushels per acre. So that's still going to be a high yield. So I think some fields and some people are already prepared to be disappointed if their fields yield less than 250. I don't think that's going to be the eye-popping number this year in many areas that it usually is. And the other thing we see looking around the state is that, say, down into southern Illinois, where we usually see drought-limiting yields and or late planting or a combination of the two, we just don't really have very much of that this year. I've been all the way to the southern tip, and most of the corn there looked pretty good. Populations are good everywhere, drought stress has been almost non-existent in Illinois this year, and that's something we almost can never say at this time of year. So we're into new territory here, I think. The models that we might use to say, well, if, you know, August temperatures are not below average, we probably aren't going to get these record yields. I think that's all off the table a little bit this year. Simply the combination of things, timely planting, cool weather in July, and good rainfall pretty much every month of this growing season has brought us to where we are, and I think this is a place we probably have never been before, at least in most areas in the state. Here in the eastern part of the state, we've had too much water has been our biggest problem, and having parts of fields drowned out. But that doesn't necessarily, you know, that doesn't go very far away from here where we are in Champaign-Urbana. I was speaking to someone in Douglas County just the other week, and they said they really never had water standing in their fields this year. So the crop condition has been excellent. We've never seen crop condition ratings like these. They've been above 80% essentially the whole summer, good to excellent. And our eye is also telling us that the canopy has maintained color very well. And now we're starting to lose canopy, and people might be a little concerned that this crop is ending early, you know, I don't know, stressed out by all this filling it's done or something. The truth is that we're at a growing degree day accumulation. We're, for a crop planted the last third of April, in this area, we're approaching 2,700, or just about at 2,700 growing degree days now. And that's enough to bring a sort of our mid-season hybrids to maturity. 2,700 growing degree days is about where we would normally, you know, be approaching or at black layer. And people might be surprised if they see the ears dropping and think, well, it's early September and, you know, it was cooler than normal this summer. Well, this shouldn't be happening. Just keep in mind that growing degree day accumulations in May and June were a little bit above normal. In August, they were actually a little bit above normal. Not a lot, but a little. And the warmer temperatures we've had the last half of August have helped bring this crop along and have added growing degree days that it needs to reach maturity. It did that by actually raising the night temperatures. Our minimum temperatures were actually a couple degrees above normal in August, and our maximums were a couple degrees below normal. What that has the effect of doing is actually increasing growing degree day accumulations a little bit due to the warm nights. And so we're right on target for that. Sunshine amounts were pretty good in July. I haven't seen the August ones yet. And everything that this crop has needed this year, it's pretty much had.
So will we be in full swing of harvest by the 15th, or will it take to the 21st, the 25th? What's your bet in a large part of the upper two-thirds of Illinois?
I don't think we'll be in full swing by the middle. I think we'll see some fields coming out down in the bottomlands in southern Illinois. They're already starting. This would be about normal time for them there. I would see harvest progressing in a very typical manner. I don't think we'll be half harvested by the end of September. Some of this is coming from the fact that, we had some fields planted later. I think I looked, if we planted the end of May, it's going to take pretty much to the end of September to get the growing degree days we need to finish the crop. But fortunately, we didn't have that much planted that late this year. But there will be some move into October, and at least, you know, up in the Dakotas, the northern Corn Belt, they have some real issues there where they have some pollination still going on, and this is not a good time for that to be happening. One of the issues, of course, is how much do we let it dry in the field and how much do we have to pay to dry this year? Certainly drying last year was an unpleasant surprise for many people. Once you start to get to maturity in September and early mid-September instead of late September, early October, like many of our fields did last year, especially with the late planting we had last year, then you really get ahead in the cycle, and it's warmer when it matures, so it dries down faster. I've seen corn lose a point, you know, in really good summer-like weather in the first half of September, point a day. And I'm not going to say we'll get there, but last year when we had some of this black layer in early October, October was not a good drying month last year, and some of it just sort of sat there, sort of looking back at us and not losing moisture very quickly. I don't expect very much of that this year. In fact, one observation I heard at Farm Progress show last week was that some of the kernels seem to kind of pop off pretty easily. There's no official test for this, but I'd encourage people about the time the corn reaches down to 30% or less to, you know, maybe take an ear or two off and, you know, maybe pound the butt of the ear against your shoe or something and see if kernels are falling off. We have good shank strength has been bred into hybrids today, so they don't drop ears. Sometimes that means when they come into the combine and hit the stripper plate that a few ears or a few kernels will bounce off of the end of the ear. And there's always some of that. And we don't have any reason to think it's going to be more this year, but, you know, these ears are pretty well packed with kernels. I'm always worried when we get down to sort of 18% and less that field shelling is going to go up, and we've certainly seen that happen. And I'd rather not have 10 or 15 bushel left lying out in the field after we're done harvesting. Some of the stands we've had of volunteer corn in the past in the fall tell us that they've lost 10 and 15 bushel.
So your point is the shanks are strong enough, you might get in and harvest before those, you might not see those drop or all of those ears drop. You need to get in and check it. and make sure you're at the right moisture content, and then go.
The strong shank mainly means that when the combine takes it in, it hits the stripper plate. You know, it's not going to be falling off into the combine header. It's going to take a force to break that shank. But that's the other. You make a good point with that. The fact that, you know, ears don't always drop over these days and wait meekly for the combine to come. Sometimes they're still upright and down in the low to mid 20 in moisture. So we need to just watch that and make sure. I think overdrying, you know, is in the field is a danger. This year it won't be a huge danger because we don't have what we had 2 years ago with fields with no color left in them by the end of August. But it would be something to watch, at least.
Thanks, Emerson. Emerson Nafziger, U of I Extension agronomist. This is the Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us for the second day of September is Harry Cooney. He's going to help us take a look at the energy markets. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington. Thanks so much for being with us today, Harry.
Well, sure, Todd. On the Tuesday, it kind of feels like a Monday here in the office, that's for sure. Yeah. The first trading day of the new month.
Yeah, the first trading day of the new month. And if you're looking at the commodity markets, actually it's the beginning of the new year for corn and soybeans as well. I don't think that's actually it. Do they have fiscal year for crude oil and such things?
Crude oil is more of a calendar year, if I remember right. But we are here at GrowMark. We're starting our new fiscal year for our years, this is when our new fiscal year begins on September 1st and goes around and ends on the 31st of August. So it's Happy New Year around the office here today.
That's the time of year you all get raises, I suppose, huh?
All get ready to do it all over again, just do it better.
All right, well, let's see, what are we doing better this year? How are the energy markets?
Well, energy markets have started off our new fiscal year here with a downside move. In fact, crude oil was down a little over 3% today, down to around $93 a barrel. One of the big catalysts for this move to the downside is the rally in the dollar. The dollar now, Todd, is trading at its highest level in over a year. Some of the reasoning for that higher dollar is that not just because it's so good here, it's that some of the softness is occurring over in overseas countries, especially like in Europe. There's getting to be some softness show up again, and so some of those currencies are sagging, and thus it makes the dollar look somewhat good again. And like I say, it's not been this high in over a year, so usually when the dollar rallies, though, that can depress commodities like oil.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time and explaining that to us. We do appreciate it, Harry.
Okay, Todd. Thank you.
Harry Cooney is in GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Blueberry Popsicle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1666, the Great Fire of London began in the shop of the King's Baker. After burning for 4 days, more than 13,000 buildings had been destroyed. In 1752, it was the last day of the Julian calendar in Great Britain and the British colonies. The Gregorian calendar, designed to correct the extra leap year day problem, went into effect the next day, tomorrow being September 14th. Hence, 11 days were dropped. Most other countries made the adjustment in 1582. In 1930, the first nonstop airplane flight from Europe to the U.S. became a reality as a pair of French pilots landed in Valley Stream, New York, after a 37-hour flight across the Pacific. In 1935, the Labor Day hurricane hit the Florida Keys. Over 400 were killed and the railway to Key West was destroyed. Winds were estimated at 200 miles per hour. And in 1995, Bjork Hillstrom died. He was the inventor of the Silva Compass, which featured a rotation compass dial and a transparent protractor base plate. He also wrote, "Be expert with map and compass, considered by many to be the Bible of orienteering." And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm UFI Extension's Tuck Gleason. Don't forget to visit our website. Find all of our Outlook meeting schedules scheduled over on the right-hand side of the page there at willag.org.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Don Day of Day Weather on this day of the week. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Tell me about the weather forecast going forward in the month of September.
Well, I tell you, we are going to have a fairly quiet week of weather ahead, but we're going to get some very interesting weather over a large portion of the United States beginning next week. We've got several things to look at, to watch, that could impact agriculture across the United States. First of all, we're going to be looking at something that doesn't happen very often, but we're going to see a tropical system form along the west coast of Mexico later this week and weekend that could bring some very heavy rainfall. The portions of the desert southwest, even portions of Southern California could get in the mix, and some of that moisture will spread across portions of the southern plains. Then we're going to be watching a fairly large area of low pressure form over central Canada, over the prairie provinces of Canada, towards the middle of next week. That's going to send a cold front, pretty strong one, into the upper plains states. And both systems could have some impacts on the weather across the United States.
No, those sound, will they clash? Because that sounds like a bad deal if they clash.
Well, timing is such that they probably won't. But we're going to see a lot more activity in the tropics, especially the Gulf Coast, the west coast of Mexico, and even the southeast United States. At the same time, we're starting to see some more potent systems come in from the north. Now, don't see anything yet that makes me want to say the frost or freeze word, but it's something, some coolness coming to those northern plains, especially with growing degree days behind normal in many areas. It's something that next week we'll take a real close look at.
Rainfall across the larger part of the Corn Belt, will that happen? Producers, frankly, would prefer that not to be the case at this time.
Well, there's going to be some. Now, we're going to see some weather activity come in later this week and this weekend with a frontal passage, and then this cold front that comes in mid to late next week is going to produce some showers and thunderstorms. Now, we're expecting them to be probably quick movers, but it's not necessarily going to be dry as well. We're going to have a couple of chances of rain across the Corn Belt.
Speaking of rainfall, have you been following conditions in China and their growing regions?
Well, they've had, for the most part, a pretty decent summer pattern across most of Eastern Asia, most of China. And those areas, as we look ahead here into early September, are looking at a very similar pattern that we had in August, which is near normal precipitation and temperatures not that far from normal.
Don, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on a Tuesday afternoon on this Closing Market Report. Don't forget that tomorrow evening we'll be in Watseka, Illinois at 4:30 for the registration, 5 o'clock for the dinner, and 6 o'clock for our panel, including Steve Freed, Bill Gentry, and Jackie Vakes. That one sponsored by the First Trust and Savings Bank. We hope to see you there. And if not there, hopefully on Thursday night at the Farm Credit Building in Mahomet, Jonathan Kappas, Ellen Dearden, and Jason Clamp will be there. We'll take up both the markets and the ARC PLC decision in Mahomet. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.